those same Bibles, if you will turn to Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 37. Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 37. We're starting a new series today. It's a short series, but I believe it's going to be a very powerful one. And it's going to challenge some of us. It's really going to challenge some of us. At least the way we think and the way we look at things. And I'm going to tell you right now, it might make someone feel uncomfortable today and next week and possibly the week after. If you start feeling that way, that is not from God. You need to just rebuke those thoughts in the name of Jesus and renew your mind with what the Word of God is revealing. The whole purpose of this is about growing deeper in our devotion to the things that God is doing. That's why I called this Devoted Carriers, and we're going to get to the carrier part next time, possibly. But this message came out, was inspired by a book I had been going through while we were doing the Kingdom of God series called Crossing Over by Paul Scanlon. And you're going to see some quotes from him. And as I was reading that book, and it's basically a testimony. It's his testimony of his church in England that went through very similar things that our church went through. Where yes, we were gathering together, we were having fellowship time, we were even having Bible studies and, you know, church services, and we were like doing what a church was doing. We were programmed. But there was no life. The people were not equipped. The people were not ignited and empowered to do what God has been calling them to do. There was something missing. The church had 800 people in it. But spiritually, there was no life. And a couple of years ago, my wife and I were in a church very similar to that. We went and visited a church in Ohio. There was, 1,000 people there. They had state-of-the-art equipment. They had unbelievably skilled musicians and beautiful singers. People were coming in very casual, coffee cups. Nobody stood during worship. Nobody was worshiping. They were just mimicking. The worship team was entertaining. I'm not saying that's how we were for everybody, but I'm just giving you this as an example that the size of a church does not equate its spiritual wellness. Okay? You can have a church like us that's lit on fire for God, and you can have a church with thousands that's dead spiritually, going through motions and just feeling good without any concrete foundation. So this is about being truly devoted to what God is calling us as a church and each one of us as individuals to do. Beginning in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, if you will follow with me in your Bibles. And if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. I apologize. And our usher will give you a Bible. Or there's one in front of you in the pew. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Let me set the stage here. Draw you the picture. They were waiting in the upper room. Those who were told by Jesus, go wait in the upper room for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They waited. And they prayed. And the Holy Spirit fell when they were in one accord. And the Bible says there was like a tongue of fire on each one, over each one. And they all started speaking in tongues, and the power of the Holy Spirit started moving, and people on the streets started hearing them in their own language. Even foreigners from other lands began to hear speaking in their own language. Whether the apostles were actually speaking it or not is not the issue. The fact is, the people understood it in their own language. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit was at work at that moment. And Peter, that's when he rose up, kind of took the lead role and became the preacher, the rock that Jesus said that he was going to be. And Peter means rock. And he stood up and he started preaching. And this is when the people came to him and said, wait a minute, we're listening to you. And our hearts are being convicted. When their hearts, they were cut to the heart. That means the Holy Spirit was so powerful. Their hearts were being convicted. They knew they needed something because something was missing in their lives. They knew something special was going on here. And they wanted more. And this is the beautiful part. They did not reject it. They did not reject it. They did not say, what the heck is going on? These guys are acting like a bunch of weirdos, screaming at the top of their lungs, saying all these wacky things and speaking in different languages. You know, isn't that Matthew the tax collector who just knew Hebrew and Greek? Why does he sound like he's speaking Chinese for all we know? So it was, stuff was going on, but the people were not freaking out, running away, rejecting it, but embraced it and said, whoa, we want this. What do we have to do to have what you have? They stopped what they were doing. These people were entering Jerusalem to go into the temple, to buy, sell, to worship, to do different things, sacrifice. This was a hub of activity. Thousands of people going through, in and out of the city on a given day. And what happens? The Holy Spirit came and it literally stopped because nothing else mattered at that moment. Nothing else mattered but what the Holy Spirit was doing. Nothing else mattered. So the first question that came to my mind is, what are we saying matters more than when the Holy Spirit is doing what he's doing? Earlier I said to you something you probably would never hear a pastor say. And that is, if the Holy Spirit's working at you and leads you even in the middle of the message, even what I so eloquently speak, get up and do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Okay? Because what he says is a lot more important than what I say. Okay? They stopped and they listened and they moved and they were spoken to. Now, something amazing took place here. First point I want to look at. We're looking at devotion because it's verse 42 I want to focus on. The people accepted, they repented, they were baptized, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. First point is devotion comes from the people. Did the apostles have to chase these people down? Did the leaders of the church, the 12 apostles and those who were in the upper room, have to run anyone down and say, okay, now you're saved, so now we want you to join our program. You've got to do this. We're going to send somebody to your house. We're going to organize your schedule for you. And we're going to kind of get order your life for you so, you know, we can make sure you make church a priority. You make devotion a priority. They didn't do that. Where did the devotion come from? Well, the NIV, the way the NIV reads verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And we'll get into later on, you know, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer, and teaching is all about. But who were the they? Who devoted themselves? Who were the they? And who were the added to them? See, there was about 120 people in that upper room. 3,000 people just got saved, and the power of God did something that was amazing. Who were the they? See, I never caught on to this before. It hit me like a brick when I saw this. And I realized, it's one of those things you read over and your mind sometimes doesn't connect all the dots. Who were the they that devoted themselves? They had an instant church. Think about it. They just had an instant church. It would be like us going to the Keyport waterfront, worshiping, preaching, praying with people, and then next thing we know, we do this on a Saturday, Sunday morning we're here, and there's people outside because there's no room to sit. The they were the 3,000 people. 3,000 people chose that day to say, you know what, I want to devote myself to what God is doing here. I want to humble myself to what God was doing. They were the people who got saved. They were not the disciples. They were new converts. New converts. They chose to devote themselves to teachings. They also devoted themselves to each other, and they chose to devote themselves to what God wants to do in this world. What the kingdom of God. And we just went on a whole series on the kingdom of God. See, church should not be a thing. Church is a who, not a thing. And I've said this before, and for those who weren't here when we've talked about this, I'm going to repeat it. You are the church. Amen. We don't go to church because church is not a thing. We go to a building where the church meets. We go to a place where people of the body gather together. So saying I'm going to church is actually not even speaking good English, if you think about it that way, based on the literal term. You are the church, not the building. You are the ones that make up what the body of Christ. The four walls have nothing to do with it. It's just a place that keeps the rain off of us and sometimes the snow. That's all it is. And if we're lucky, we'll have air conditioning someday within those walls. So, but this is describing a culture, guys. It's a cultural shift, not just a model of a church. Because there was no blueprint. No, Jesus did not sit with the 12 disciples and say, all right, let me give you church planting 101, and let me give you the four stages of church growth, and let me outline a 5-year plan for growth, and all this stuff. They were truly learning as the Holy Spirit was teaching them, and dealing with things as they happened as the Holy Spirit was teaching them. All of a sudden, 120 people went to 3,000 plus 120. And keep in mind, those 3,000 were not all citizens of Jerusalem. So people who were from other regions decided, I'm staying here for a while. I'm going to devote myself and get it and figure this out. So think about the commitment that took place. The commitment that took place in their lives to say, you know what? what the Holy Spirit's doing is more important than anything else I could be doing right now. What the presence of God is working on in my life, how He is impacting me, what is happening around me, I need to be a part of it. I need to be. They were hungry. Hungry. What I love, my favorite part of that song I shared with you during offering, because that's the first time we've ever shared that song, is, Lord, I thirst for You again. Let me thirst for You. I thirst. I want more. My throat is parched. And let me tell you, my throat is very parched right now because I did not want to hold back. Okay, by the grace of God, I still have a voice, but I just felt like worshiping because this is what God's doing and I want the power of God to come through. But God is at work here. And I want to stop right here today. We will continue this point of the devotion comes from the people next week. But I want to give more opportunity. I want to give more opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. Some of you are here for the first time. Some of you in a long time. Some of you just getting to know us. But you've sensed, you've tasted, you've seen the living water that the Holy Spirit is pouring out today. It has nothing to do with us being some kind of special thing. What you have is a group of people who are submitting themselves wholeheartedly to God. You have a group of people in this building, in this place that we gather in, who are praying even before we show up here. We are praying every day for this. We're praying before we come. We're praying on the way here. Our prayers start for next Sunday as soon as the final amen ends here. And within our prayers for the next Sunday, it's prayers for what happens at choir practice. But because let me tell you, it's not just about singing in harmony. We want the presence of God to fall in worship. We want the presence of God. We start praying for it in our Bible studies. We want the presence of God even when a couple of guys get together to go to coffee or something like that. That's the desire. That's the heart. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. We want to move with Him. We don't want to have anything else be more important than what the Holy Spirit is doing. My wife jokingly came up to me, but serious this morning, and said, my announcements are going to be long today. Is that okay? I feel God's giving me a lot. And I said yes, but I'm thinking, how long is that going to be? But the Holy Spirit was at work. Holy Spirit was at work. Things needed to be shared. Things needed to be revealed. Things needed to be done. Didn't plan on worship itself being that long, but the Holy Spirit was working and we were not going to quench that Spirit. Okay? Holy Spirit is still moving. He's still stirring in His place. What is He doing right now in you? I'm going to ask the guys if you just play something soft right now. I just want you to kind of close your eyes. I'm going to pray over you, but then we're going to just release you to move as the Holy Spirit moves you. I'm going to be up here. My wife will be up here. If we need to, we'll call our prayer team up here to pray for anyone who specifically wants prayer. But I want to encourage you not to be afraid to ask the person next to you to pray with you. I just want God to speak into your life, God. The Holy Spirit is working. Holy Spirit, right now, move. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, break through in new ground. Speak right now in our lives. Let nothing be more important than what You are doing right now. Let us stop in our tracks, our minds be still and listen to You, Holy Spirit. Our hearts be still and listen to You, Holy Spirit. Speak right now.
Spread wide in the arms of Christ. There's a love that covers sin. No greater love.
need to accept Christ as your Savior as a beginning point. Just like these people, they said, what shall we do? Peter simply said, repent of your sins, be baptized, and we are going to be doing baptisms in the summer, and receive the Holy Spirit. We can do 2 out of 3 right now. Come and be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to accept Jesus, if you want to do that, just simply say, Lord, I repent of my sins.
Your friendship.
I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Help me to make him Lord of everything in my life.
I feel I'm
Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and fill me up right now. Holy Spirit, I come and I ask you to come and fill me up right now. Move about as the Holy Spirit is leading you right now. Feel free. Praying for one another.
No greater love have I ever known. You considered me a friend.
I'm going to ask Kissney to repeat that again. Can you guys lower the music just a little bit?
No greater love have I ever known.
Hidden with Christ, I believe that somebody still needs to come and say, I want that new life, and I want to tell this life that I've been struggling with to die and be done in Jesus' name.
Yes. I want to ask you all to just stand up, but stay in a state of prayer. And just worship from where you are standing up. And if God has spoken to you and you want to accept Jesus as your Savior today, I just want you, with all heads bowed, you're just praying with each other, ministering with each other. Maybe just going, you and the Lord in the presence of God, in His presence. Nobody really looking around, but if God has spoken to you and you want to accept Him as your Savior today, just I want you to just move about. Nobody's gonna looking at you. Just come forward, and we want to pray with you right here.
Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness.
Lord.
The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show
free to
me
come up
just
to the altar.
How far
you don't want us to pray
the
over
east
you.
Is
to
from
to
the
altar.
West.
Just let the Holy Spirit speak into you right now.
See